Let's get back to Sig, who's been very patient. Thank you, sir. I'm going to skip any further commercial announcements till later. What's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Doc. Yeah. I've got a question and then another one, too, if you have time. But first one is about my 73-year-old male friend who has trouble with his sinuses that prevents him from using his CPAP also. And he thinks it might have happened like 50 years ago when he was exposed and hospitalized for apparently a fungus that he got in Las Vegas in one of those desert winds or something. So nothing's helping very much. I wonder if you had any ideas about fungal infections maybe in the sinuses.
Well, oddly enough, I do, sir. Remember I was talking to Michael about potassium iodide and how it concentrates in the linings of the entire respiratory tract. That includes lungs, that includes sinuses, and, of course, it gets into the salivary glands, as I was talking to Michael about, but that's not relevant here. Now, potassium iodide can kill nearly any bacteria or virus that it's ever comes in contact with, and it does kill a lot of funguses. I won't tell you it can kill all funguses, but it can kill many of them simply by coming in contact with them and staying in contact. Now, if this has been a long, long infection, if it is an infection, and it is a fungal infection, I can't tell you as surely as I could as if it were viral or bacterial, but I can tell you there's a good chance that if he uses a relatively high dose of this potassium iodide stuff and does it frequently, and I would only be doing this if I had a doctor skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine handy, because he might need to take it for long enough that it might suppress the thyroid. He might not, too. We can't tell. But the articles I've seen on thyroid suppression with potassium iodide tell us that people can go as long as 7 or 8 weeks on a high dose, and then they might start to suppress. Now, some people, I know one person, for example, who's taken a high dose for the last 3 years and has not suppressed his thyroid function at all. And it's another problem that he's taking it for. But what's a high dose? Now, the stuff is potassium iodide. It's sold under that name. It's sold under the name of Bernard's solution. Again, as I mentioned, after Bernard Courtois, who gifted it all to us in 1817. A high dose, if we're going after infection, the first thing is it needs to be taken every few hours. No kidding. It can't be just taken once or twice in a day. It has to be taken every few hours. We don't have to get up in the middle of the night to take it, though. But if we happen to get up in the middle of the night, okay, I woke up at 4 in the morning instead of the usual time, and I'm going to go back to bed, fine, take another dose. What's a high dose? This is why we got to work with a doctor who's skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine, because it turns out to me those same 6 drops I was talking about, and we do those 6 drops, I'm not kidding now, I'm sorry, every 3 or 4 hours. Now, how do I know about every 3 or 4 hours? Well, pretty simple. You can taste that stuff when you take it. Yeah, you have this little iodine taste in your mouth, but remember, it's killing germs. But that taste fades away after about 3, 4, 5 at the most hours. So the body has passed it along. Usually most of it comes out through the urine, where, by the way, it kills any bacteria there are in the urine. So if one has a urinary tract infection and D-mannose doesn't work, then the potassium iodide almost certainly works. So anyway, it needs to be taken. As soon as the taste wears off, you got to take it again every 3, 4 hours, whatever your body says. And again, in fungal infections, and we don't know for sure it's that. He's just thinking it's that. But if it is a bacterial or viral, then he's probably got it knocked. And if it's a fungal, then there is, I'd say, from what I hear from people, about a 60% chance it's going to knock it out. It doesn't get all funguses. And you got to keep taking it like that and work with a doctor who can monitor your thyroid.
Very good. Thanks, Doc. I have a younger relative, too. Can I ask a question about him?
Yes. But let's make it quick, though. We do have 2 or 3 people waiting, but you go right ahead.
Okay, he's 24. He has a bad case of psoriasis on his neck. He does drink on weekends too much, and I don't know about probably.
Okay, sir. Since there's folks waiting, let me tell you that one's easy. Here's how I know. A research group over in Italy was treating people for Helicobacter pylori in their stomachs, and oh my God, their psoriasis cleared up. So they put together a group of over 100 people with psoriasis, and they treated them all for Helicobacter pylori in the stomach. And what they found is the majority of those cases cleared up. The worst cases were the ones that got the best. Now, it appears that psoriasis is part of an autoimmune reaction to Helicobacter pylori, which is the fancy name for a little bacteria that loves to give us stomach ulcers. And so it usually lives in the stomach, but not always. So first thing needs to be done, in my opinion now, not everybody's opinion, is he needs to get himself a Helicobacter test and find out if he does have Helicobacter pylori. The odds are very good that he does because, again, this research group cleared up Helicobacter and psoriasis went away. And the best test out there that I'm aware of is called the Helicobacter breath test. I won't explain the details. You can check with any laboratory. Do you do the Helicobacter breath test? Many of them do, including the one that I'm medical director of, Meridian Valley Lab. If that test is positive, then you got Helicobacter. And what do you do then? You don't take the triple antibiotics that murder all your normal intestinal bacteria. That's what's used in conventional medicine. That was what was used over in Italy. Good grief. There's other ways of doing it. Now, it's known that the Helicobacter loves to eat nickel. I didn't say nickels. I said nickel, the element nickel. However, if we know about a very innovative dermatologist who found that he could clear up psoriasis, sir, with nickel dibromide, what we know is that he fooled those Helicobacter, his name was Stephen Smith, by the way, he fooled the Helicobacter into thinking there was something good, getting something good, namely the nickel, but the bromide, it killed the Helicobacter. So they took up what they thought was a goodie, and it had two baddies attached, and they died. And people's psoriasis would go away. So anyway, if he does have Helicobacter, this stuff is on the market. I would be checking for sure with a doc skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine, because we, even though nickel is an essential element, we can overdose on it. It's possible to overdose, and we need to guard against that. And there are some other minerals that can be taken to protect us against that sort of thing. So it's kind of a long haul, sir. But the reason the answer is easy is because it is now known that psoriasis will clear up if we clear up Helicobacter. There you go.
Thanks, Doc. And I feel just like the other guy did about your life, so appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for holding on, and thank you for letting me ramble there a bit, because you and I just got the word out to anybody out there who's listening who has psoriasis. Thank you, sir.